until people will come, something will happen.
What's the question?
2 weeks ago, there's a big rabbi, about 60-something years old, that used to be in Beit Vagan. Beit Vagan is in Jerusalem, where my brother lived. He used to have a minyan about 15 years ago. He used to have a minyan 14, 15 years ago in his house, because there was no shul. When my mother passed away about 12 and a half years ago, we built up the synagogue over there, and it's called Beit Levi on my mother's name. And we did the second floor, we did a big column. We have about 20-something people standing for many years already. We have a shul, main floor, and for ladies upstairs, and downstairs we have a hall for, you know, brit or bar mitzvah or whatever. Start to prepare to make the mikveh on the side of the shul, but still some difficulty with the all kind of paperwork from the building department in the city, a lot of politics. This rabbi, he went for the past year. He became a chief of shohatim in Beijing, in China. China. He went over there. He come twice a year to visit his family, and he's there now. This is an amazing story I'm telling you. 2 weeks ago, my mother came to him in a dream. My mother came to him in a dream. First night. She's telling him, go take $217 from your money and tell to my son Ofer in Israel, give him the money and I want you to build a shul. And don't worry, your mother is behind you. Just start with that, without paperwork. Start to build a shul. The mikveh. Sorry, the mikveh. The guy said, this is a dream. He knew my mother. 2 days later, she came again. So you're not listening to me. I'm asking you to do something for me. You're not listening to me. The guy again, 2 days after that, doesn't pay attention to that. Again, 2 days later, she come again. She's telling him, I'm asking, and in between, every night, she's telling him something about something of the family. She told to about my brother Eli, tell to my brother Eli, my son Eli, don't worry about his health, he's going to be fine. And she told about me something I cannot say. And she told to another brother, Gary Gershon, something that I cannot say also. And she said to other two members of the family something. The third night, she'd come to him and she told him, please, go do what I said. The guy is sweating, but he doesn't understand what's going on. He go back to sleep. A rabbi by the name of Alwan, he was a big rabbi of a Kurdish, Mekubal, came to him at night, right after that, give him a kick with his with a stick.
Okay.
He get up in the morning, his leg is swollen. He immediately went to the hospital, they put the thing on him. It's not a story, rabbi. It's all true. this is what happened. He went to this boss. He said, I'm going right now to Israel. I have to do something. He came to my brother this past Sunday. He came to my brother. He said, here's $217. Please listen to my story. The guy came special from China. So your mother said to build the mikveh. He's been sitting like that for a few years. And you guys not doing nothing. He went to another rabbi that rabbi went, and then he told him the whole story with this, and with my brothers, with me, with this. She mentioned only we are 11 brothers and sisters. She mentioned only three brothers, 1, 2, 3, and my sister-in-law and one of my my son, my nephew. She said, this guy is a tzaddik, and just give him that message. It's a good boy, is a tzaddik. But that Rabbi Vakni, he went back already to China, and he went to a big rabbi over there and told him the whole story. He says, only few tzaddikim get passport to leave the Olam Haba, to come here to talk, to do that. He said, this woman, she must be a very big tzaddik. My mother died with a tehillim in her hand, like that. That's the story.
That's a good story. Also, today was a funeral here. Joe Alpert.
Joe Alpert?
You know of him, Rabbi. You know.
Sure, I know him.
He's the one that he did the Rabbi's Strasbourg?
Yeah.
Yeshiva he built.
Yeah, I know him.
He was packed. Big Rabbi came. And they all, and nobody knew what he was doing. You know, low key. No advertisement.
He was a big guy.
Yeah.
Gave a lot of tzedakah. A lot of tzedakah.
Very nice.
Unbelievable.
He called up his brother to them. They bought the building. He called up Kamel. We know Kamel.
David
Kamel, a lawyer. You know. And he called up the Rosh from the yeshiva to come to sign the... Everything was paid. It's a big building. Maybe 40, 50,000 square
feet. More. And he gave money also to fix it. And to do it. It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Great guy.
I remember.
He suffered. He was...
He suffered 4.5 years.
He stroke. He was in bed all the time.
And a great door remained. I mean, the sons and the son-in-laws, you know, they spoke. I mean, maybe an hour and a half. He wrote to the funeral today?
No, just a house more, I think.
Come in. Your permission. The last story of Am Israel before they crossed the Jordan River in this week's Parashat Matot. The Torah tells us to Mikne Rav Haya Livne Reuven Livne Gad Atzum Meod. After the war that Am Yisrael had with Midian, two tribes, Reuben and Gad, became very wealthy, and they were able to loot a lot of cattle. Then the Torah tells us they came to Moshe and Elazar HaKohen, and they said, well, we have a lot of cattle, and we are now on the east side of the Jordan River. This is a country, a land that Am Yisrael captured from Sihon and Og, the two giants. And therefore, they're asking Moshe, should give them this land. They don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Al ta'avirenu ta'yarden, please, we're staying here. But even though that we came out of Egypt. And everybody knew Hashem took us out of Egypt in order to get to Eretz Israel. Here we had the border of Eretz Israel. They say, since we got so much cattle, we'd rather stay here. The reaction should have been of Moshe Rabbeinu immediately, what are you talking about? You went down to Egypt, we suffered in Egypt, we came out of Egypt, you're on the way to Eretz Israel. You say, you're not going to Israel? What's going to be with you people? You want to stay outside of Israel? Instead, Moshe only says that this is a very dangerous situation with you people, because if you're not going to go now to Israel, the rest of Am Yisrael will say, well, if they don't go, we don't want to go. We don't want to go. It's going to be the same situation 38 years ago. That the spies came back and Am Yisrael decided, they cried, they don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And Akiva was very upset. They all died in the desert. You might cause the same situation. But Moshe does not say, listen, we have to go to Israel. Israel. What do you mean you're not going to go to Israel? And Moshe said, the only thing that I have a problem with is that you might have influence on the rest of Am Yisrael and all of them will decide not to go to Israel. That's going to be a problem. If you don't want to go, it's no problem. So they said, you know what? We have a solution for the problem. If you think that because we're not going to go, we're going to have influence, bad influence, on the rest of Am Yisrael, we are willing to volunteer to go and fight together with our brothers until they capture Eretz Yisrael, and we'll stay there until they'll divide Eretz Yisrael, and each one will get his piece of land, and then we'll go back home. It's going to take 14 years. They say, it doesn't matter. We'll stay there until the war is over. We can leave our families, our cattle, in those places. We can build for them houses, housing. Maybe we're not going. Moshe said, if that's the case, okay, so if you're going to do it, he said, Moshe, listen. We're going to do, we're not going to do, it's done. Deal done. We're not going to Israel. Finish. Moshe calls up Elazar HaKohen and Yeshua Ben-Nun. I tell them, listen, I just spoke to the two tribes and they don't want to go to Israel. That's fine. As long as they're going to send some soldiers, volunteer, they're going to go fight with Am Yisrael, perfect. This land belongs to them. Let them stay outside Israel. Very strange. Strange situation. Doesn't say that Moshe even asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you mean? 20% of Am Yisrael, we're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael? We don't even discuss it with Hashem? Why do I agree? Forget about it. Stay over here, stay wherever you are. And let's what happen. Comes the Gemara and tells us you should know if Am Yisrael would not have done what they did after Yeshua died, so Am Yisrael would have on the shelves Hamishachom Shetorah, the five books, and Sefer Yehoshua. Yeshua wrote, and it's a very important book. It tells us a lot of our future, present, past, as far as being Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. And that book reads in one of the chapters that that's what happened. Am Yisrael crossed the Jordan River with Yeshua, started a war that took 7 years. After 7 years, they almost captured all Eretz Israel, started to divide Eretz Israel. After 14 years, when the job was almost done, Yeshua called up the soldiers, the people from the two tribes, Reuben and Gad, that came along. And the Gemara says, and Nabi says, they were always around Yeshua Ben-Nun, protecting him and protecting Am Yisrael, like the Marines, very brave and strong soldiers. Comes Nabi, tells us, you know, the job is almost done. Yeshua calls them and says, you may go back. 14 years, you didn't see your children, you didn't see your wives. Go back home. Back and forth, they go, they come back, Yeshua gives them a bracha, they go. They go. All of a sudden, Am Yisrael gets a message that those two tribes build an altar. Build an altar next to the Jordan River, on the east side of the Jordan River. And the Navi says, Pinchas and 10 presidents of 10 tribes went down to the east side of the Jordan River, to those two tribes. He says, excuse us, we are here to clarify some questions and some confusions. We heard that you're building an altar. You know you're not to build an altar. What kind of a story is this? You're going to build a Hamikdash down there? Outside of Eretz Israel, on the east side of the Jordan River? Didn't you say you don't want to cross the river? So now what are you going to do? You're going to be over there? You're going to make a temple over there? He said, no. We didn't mean to build a temple. He says, one day, maybe your children and our children, they'll forget about Judaism. I don't know, Israel came in information last week, a survey, that in America, every 7 minutes, a Jew gets married to a boy. Every 7 minutes. This is the survey shows. Every 7 minutes. We're not talking about Europe. In America. And if you read the book of Yeshua, the book of Shoftim, right after Yeshua, immediately happened. It's not before the Holocaust. In Germany, 50% assimilation. Bulgaria, 45%. Hungary, 40% assimilation. This doesn't start now. We take up another Tanakh, Sefer Shoftim. It says, Navi, after Yeshua died, and the three old people that he left after him, immediately when they died, assimilation. They all got married into the goyim. All of them. All. Somebody's going to find out, you see, what is this, what's going on? People used to worship Avodah Zarah, people did this, people did that. Who did, what did? It's all those descendants of the non-Jewish people that are intermarried into Am Yisrael. When you read the Tanakh, it's the hardest possible. You know, tribes fighting each other. Hundreds of thousands of people dying on the floor between the tribes. How can it be such a thing? Brothers killing each other. It's not brothers. It says one of the parents was a goy. Either the father was a goy or mother was a goy. It's called Arizos, it's called Erebrav. It's called dirt. No conversion or nothing. No conversion, nothing. Navi says when Am Yisrael came back from exile from Iran and Iraq to build Sekhem at HaMikdash, standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Sekhem at HaMikdash, Ezra Sofer, the Navi speaks and he sees ladies are crying. He says, why are you crying? He says, my husband has a shikse. Standing in front of Ezra, holding down his Arab wife with no conversion. How do you get to this head of these people? When you read the Gemara, what people did, sins, first but having just said something, how could it happen? Yeshua just died. Miracles upon miracles happened. It says, the people that sin are not true Jewish people. And Rabbi says, right after Yeshua died, and is the three Kenim, three people that he left, all intermarried, all the goyim. And we emphasize, Hashem said, don't leave one non-Jew in Israel. Don't leave them. Don't leave them. Shouldn't be barbers, should not be in construction. You don't want them around you. You don't want them. You don't know the information. In South America, Israelis go over there, intermarry with all those non-Jewish girls. Officers from the army in Israel, officers. I had a meshulach from Chabad in the shul in Great Neck, just Ecuador. Forget about what's going on in Mexico, El Salvador. Says Navi, the two tribes told Pinchas, listen, we're building over here an altar because we're afraid of this thing. That one day people from Eretz Israel will come and say, you know, those two tribes over there, they are not Jewish. Our children will not know what's going on. So this is just a monument. Not planning to make a temple. It's a monument. Says Navi, fine. Pinchas was very happy with the answer. Took the 10 presidents of the tribes, went back to Eretz Israel, reported to Yeshua, and said, listen, they're not planning to do a temple. This is just a monument. Story in the Tanakh. What do you have to learn from the story? Like what do you have to learn from the story that near God of near woman they stayed behind? They didn't want to cross. Hashem will not come in 10 days. We have Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av is a very special Tanit. The halachot around it. It's very, very strange halachot. We have Baruch Hashem other Taniot. We had the Asara Betevet, the 10th day of Chodesh Tevet. El Shiva Asar Bet Hamuz. You just don't eat, don't drink, that's it. Finish. Okay? This is to remember certain things. 10 of Tevet, Yimach Shemo, Nebuchadnezzar, made a siege in Yerushalayim just on the surface. So, what do you have to do Tanit for this? Because he made a siege? He made a siege, so it's not the first siege. Sanhedrin also made a siege. Well, I don't know, maybe it's the beginning of destruction, maybe. So we do Tanit. What do Tanit? You start in the morning, in the evening, 40 minutes after sunset, you eat, and you're done with it. We come Shiva Asar Bet Hamuz. Last week, Sunday, was supposed to be on Shabbat. So what happened? It says, in the second Bet Hamikdash, they broke the wall. And they went inside Yerushalayim. First Bet HaMikdash was the 9th of Tammuz. And the second Bet HaMikdash was the 17th of Tammuz. And I said, you do Tanit. Why? The wall broke. So what if the wall broke? Nothing. Tell me, the wall broke and millions of people were killed. Okay, so. But again, let's look in the calendar. Am Yisrael always suffered and went through hard times and tragedies. So they broke the wall of Yerushalayim. So what is it, Tanit? Okay, the Chachamim said, do Tanit, I did Tanit. Again, I didn't eat, finished. Come Tisha B'Av, of course Tisha B'Av, the Gemara says, the Mishnah said, few things happen, maybe it's a bigger tragedy. But the halachot are very strange of Tisha B'Av. The first halacha is we start at night, at Tanit. Very strange. After night, we have to start at night. They say, okay, you know what happened to Tisha B'Av? A few things happened. Okay, so, the halachot said, well, preparation for the Tanit. As of this Friday, this is Rosh Chodesh, no meat and no wine is allowed till after Tisha B'Av. This is 8 days. 8 days before the Tanit. It's 8 days before. It says, 8 days before Tanit, I cannot have wine and I cannot have meat. What is the problem exactly? Besides Shabbat, of course. Chachamim said even on Rosh Chodesh Friday, you shouldn't have it. It says, it's not Tisha B'Av yet. It's 8 days before. Already? Okay. Now this is, you know, according to the Sfaradim, is not so. But you know what the general halacha is. This is the week of Tisha B'Av, all in Ashkenazim, you can't take a haircut. You can't give things to the laundromat. And it doesn't matter if the laundromat is a Jew or not a Jew. You cannot wear clean clothing. You cannot buy any new thing, not even new shoes. When? The week of Tisha B'Av. Ashkenazim is from Shiva Asar Bet Hamuz. Says Shulchan Aruch, you should know there are some people, they don't have meat, they don't have wine from Shiva Asar Bet Hamuz. There are some people do Tanit every day from Shiva Asar Bet Hamuz and to Tisha B'Av. That's already extreme. It's extreme. It's not even fanatic. This is outrageous. Shulchan Aruch says even further, you have a factory in China. You own a factory in China. And they manufacture over there shoes for the Chinese, not for Jewish people. You're not allowed to walk from Rosh Chodesh. You got to shut the factory in China. You can't produce. If you're a manufacturer, you're not allowed to produce for the Goyim. If you have a laundromat, you cannot wash things for the Goyim. You cannot give to the laundromat your own clothing to pick it up after Tisha B'Av. You know, what kind of extreme is this? Where did the halachot come from? But Chachamim wants to know Tisha B'Av. Okay, so there's a limit. Can't wear shoes, you have to wear slippers, can't take a shower. Halachot upon halachot upon halachot. Comes the Mishnah and says, let me tell you what happened in Tisha B'Av. Says five things happen, says the Mishnah. Says, the first thing says the Mishnah is the spies that Moshe Rabbeinu sent to Israel came back with the report on Tisha B'Av, and they said Israel is not for us. People over there are too strong. Giants over there. Am Yisrael sat on the floor and cried. And Hashem said, listen, you cried for nothing. Because of that, all of you will die in the desert. So again, first of all, we have to understand what this punishment is. So just sit down on the floor and cry. I don't want to go to Israel for this. I have to die in the desert. But, you know, between ourselves, you know, if you read the Jewish history, this is not so bad. A lot of people died in the desert anyway. And they didn't die instantly. It took 38 years. Every year, 15,000 and change died. It's not the end of the... They got buried. You know, there are people buried in Egypt before we left. So, whatever the reason was, the Kaibachu was upset, but it's not something, the worst thing in the world. And like Mishnah said, you know, that's the first bad thing happened to Shabbat. Nigzar al avotenu shulei kansu le'eretz Yisrael. That generation will die the next 38 years in the desert. Okay? The second thing, and the third is the first Beit HaMikdash, second Beit HaMikdash will burn on Tisha B'Av. He says, why, what the coincidence? It's no coincidence. Hashem said it. You cried for nothing when the spies came back. Therefore, you can have a reason to cry. I'm going to burn Beit HaMikdash for you, and now you're going to cry. What do you mean? What's the punishment? Because I cried for nothing, then I have to cry for a reason. Hashem cares if I wasted my tears. In the kindergarten, it's like this. He did this, and then you put this. Hashem said, you cried for nothing, so I cried for nothing. I don't know if it's for nothing. I don't know if it's for nothing. Or the 10 spies came back and they said, Israel is not for you. So it's for nothing. It's not for nothing. I cried because, you know, my rabbi said, Israel is not for me. So I cried. So I was just seen to cry. Hashem said, yeah, you cried for nothing, you're going to cry for a reason. Then the Gemara says, the fourth thing will happen. It's Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadnezzar, they brought a plow and they plowed Yerushalayim. So, how can you compare this to the destruction of the Tamikdash? So, the plow Yerushalayim, okay, so the plow Yerushalayim. So, this is the tragedy. The Mishnah said five things happened. He says, what is this? He says, first, the Tamikdash was burned down, millions of people were killed. Second, the Tamikdash was burned down. And also, they plowed Yerushalayim. Plow Yerushalayim. Plow Yerushalayim is nothing. The fifth thing, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, the city of Beta, Bar Kokhba was there, and Rabbi Akiva thought he is Mashiach, so the Rambam thinks he was Mashiach. The city of Beta was destroyed in Yerushalayim, and millions of people were killed. Comes the Gemara and says, let me explain to you the secret of the Taaniot. You know, Eretz Israel was destroyed by stages. There's a concept that's called Eretz Israel. There's a concept that's called Yerushalayim. There's a concept called Beit HaMikdash. Comes the Gemara and says, let me explain to you what happened. Anechar v'aretz. Gemara in Masechet Nedarim says, why Eretz Israel was destroyed? Says the Gemara, the reason for that is שלא ברחו בתורה תחילה. They didn't consider the Torah as Torah. What Chacham say, what it means is really they did not want to keep Torah שבעל פה until Mordechai and Esther came, until the Gzera of Haman. Am Yisrael did not want to follow what we call what Moshe brought to us from Shamayim, only the text. It's called Torah שבכתב. Torah שבעל פה, הלכות, but Chachamim said, don't do this on Shabbat, don't do this on Chag, do like this, do like that. He said, we don't believe in this. If Chamisha Chumshe Torah is Chumash, we follow it. It says, black and white, and don't tell me explanation. Then Moshe learned this in Shabbat, not interested. Until came Haman, and then the Gemara says, Kimu v'kiblu ha'yudim alem v'azaram. At that time, says the Gemara, we accepted the halachot. Until then, nobody was interested. Not that nobody kept, some people did. Most of us did not want to keep it. Says the Gemara, Mechar Ba'aretz, somebody's going to ask you, Eretz Israel was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. Says the Navi, says the Gemara, Shelo Berchu Ba'Torah Tchila. They didn't consider the Torah as a book of laws. Comes the Gemara, Masechet Bava Metzia, says, Al mei charva Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a different concept. First comes Eretz Israel, everything besides Yerushalayim. Then comes the city of Yerushalayim. Gemara, Lama, from what? Yerushalayim was destroyed, says the Gemara, Eminu divrei Ma'adin Torah. Everybody was very tough. No kindness, no mercy. Not the judges, not the people. Comes the Gemara and says, Masechet Yoma, and why Bet HaMikdash was destroyed? Says the Gemara, first Bet HaMikdash was destroyed because people worship Avodah Zarah, murdered other people, abomination. Second Bet HaMikdash, Sinat Chinam. Three concepts. Land of Israel, Yerushalayim, and Bet HaMikdash. Land of Israel is the Tanit Asara Betevet. And since Nebuchadnezzar destroyed all Eretz Israel and came up all the way to Yerushalayim. This is one concept. This is Tanit Asara Betevet. Ashiva Asara Bet Hamuz last week is for Yerushalayim. They broke the wall of Yerushalayim. No more Yerushalayim. Tisha B'Av is Bet HaMikdash. This is the Gemara Eder Avodah Zarah. And murdering and abomination, all second Metamidos in Achim. That's the secret of the Tzad Yod. Comes the Gemara and says, let me tell you something. People think, you know, we have Eretz Israel, we have Baruch Hashem, also Yerushalayim. And of course, we also hope for Metamidos. That's the Gemara says, Mashiach will come, will gather all of Israel to Eretz Israel, will destroy Amalek, and we will be Metamidos. So, it's been these things like stages. We have to have Eretz Israel, we have to have Yerushalayim, and we have to have Bet HaMikdash. Comes the Gemara and says, no. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Abraham, Avinu says the Gemara, he's giving Abraham in Eretz Israel. Abraham said, thank you very much, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but let me tell you something. If you give me the place of Bet HaMikdash, that I own it, I'm taking Israel. If not, I don't need Israel. I don't want it. What is Israel? Israel is just a diving board to go to Bet HaMikdash. It's not we have Eretz Israel and we have Yerushalayim and Bet HaMikdash. No. I got to Israel. I didn't get to Israel. Israel is just like easement that you should go to Bet HaMikdash. That's what you have to have in your head. Nothing else. As the Mishnah said, when you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to aim to Bet HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, you're not allowed to pray in a place that are no windows. No windows, basement, make a shul in the basement. You can't pray. Says the Gemara, how do you know? It says, Daniel was a servant in the Nebuchadnezzar's palace, and he was praying all the time Hashem should rebuild the second Bet HaMikdash. Navi says he always prayed in front of the window that face Bet HaMikdash, where Bet HaMikdash used to be. Says the Gemara, a person is not allowed to pray in the Bet HaKnesset, no windows. Says that you have 12 windows. Not even 2 or 3 or 4. You have 12 facing, not all 12 to face. Some of them, at least one of them, face not Yerushalayim, face Bet HaMikdash. As the Mishnah said, Masechet Brachot, somebody doesn't know where he is, he doesn't know the directions, he doesn't know where he is, he got lost, or he cannot, he says, aim Bet HaMikdash. When he said, you know, everybody, whether he lives east, west, south, north of Bet HaMikdash, he always tells Shekol Piyot Ponimela, Manu Letal Piyot. Says the Gemara, all face Bet HaMikdash. You don't understand what the Gemara says. It's not, Bet HaMikdash is something that we have to go. That's the only place we need, nothing else. Israel is worthless. Yerushalayim is worthless without Bet HaMikdash. And this is really the secret. In Shulchan Aruch, you go to Yerushalayim, you go to Eretz Israel, everything is okay. You go to the place of Bet HaMikdash, you go to the place where the Kotel is, you got to tear your shirt. You got to tear your shirt. And you can't sell it. And it says, look, the mask is there. It says, the whole purpose of Avraham Avinu taught us is the Bet HaMikdash, nothing else. All the rest is just to get the Bet HaMikdash. How are you going to get there? You have to go. You have to go to the airport. And from the airport, you have to go to Yerushalayim. From Yerushalayim, you got the Bet HaMikdash. But it's not, I have Israel, and I have Yerushalayim, and I have Bet HaMikdash. I want only Bet HaMikdash. That's Avraham Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, this is really what the Torah wants to teach you. It says, V'nei Gad V'nei Reuven, it's the last one in the Torah before we go to Israel. They say, we're not going to Israel. We're not going to Israel. He said, we're not going to Israel. Let me tell you what happened. Says the Gemara the following. You know, in time of David HaMelech, all of a sudden started an epidemic. And people died every day, 100 people. David didn't know what's going on. He said, what's going on? So God and Abi told him, he said, look, you know over there, you see Yerushalayim over there. There's a guy, his name is Arvane. You go over there, buy from him this piece of land. This is the place that you have to build the altar of Beit HaMikdash. David went over there. The minute he purchased it, epidemic stopped. Says the Gemara, you know what the problem was. We came to Eretz Israel, everybody got a piece of land. We forgot the purpose of us living in Israel. Everybody had a piece of land. They planted in the backyard. Even maybe some of us behaved. But this is not the purpose of our life. The purpose of our life is Beit HaMikdash. Since the Gemara, since we forgot about Beit HaMikdash, we just, you know, we were busy with our jobs. Epidemic stopped. Epidemic started. The epidemic will stop the minute David will purchase the place of Beit HaMikdash. And this is really what the Navi wants to teach you. Or the Torah tells you that when they came to Moshe, he said, Moshe, look, we're not going to Israel. Moshe said, okay, don't go to Israel. I said, Moshe, why don't you let them stay here? Look, they're going to go, and then they're going to fight, and they're going to go back home. And going to build an altar. What's the altar? It says those people all their life will know and remember Beit HaMikdash. It's not you want to sacrifice. We're not allowed to sacrifice down there. But we have to remember all the time Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMikdash. Let Shulchan Aruch says, you know, you come to your house, and America is not as crucial like in Israel. But in Israel, you move to a house, the front, when you walk in, you have to have 2 feet on 2 feet, not painted. But you got to remember destruction Beit HaMikdash. You got to remember. Since the Gemara used to have special crowns for bride and grooms, I says, don't wear it no more. And if you know, in Yerushalayim, you cannot have music at weddings. They have a drum, one drummer. You cannot have 18 piece orchestra. You cannot have even 3. In all of Yerushalayim, all the halls in Yerushalayim, they don't let music. Of course, non-religious is non-religious. But the religious sector, you can have. They make Far-Ora. Outside Yerushalayim, they have a hall over there, it's called Far-Ora. Over there, they have weddings with music. In Yerushalayim, only a drum. I said, what is this? I said, Chachamim said, look, it's no Beit HaMikdash. No Beit HaMikdash. It's not that Baruch Hashem, we have our land. Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, you can sing Hatikva. But you see, the job was cut in the middle. And that's Chachamim came with all those restrictions for Tisha B'Av. I said, listen, let me explain to you what happened in Tisha B'Av. Look. The spies came back, and the spies said, well, Israel's not for you. You sit down and cry on the floor. He said, let me explain to you something. It's not you don't want to go to Israel. You have no reason to exist. Because you're here, because your great-grandfather, Abraham, was promised by Kadosh Baruch Hu after 400 years, you go back to Eretz Israel. Where are you going? He says, Vayelech Abraham, Aloch v'naso ha'nikma. The Gemara tells us, when Abraham came to Eretz Israel from Haran, from Syria, the Torah says he always goes south. He goes south from where? From north. From Syria goes south. Says the Gemara, where is he going south? Yama Melach is going. The Gemara says, no, he's going to Yerushalayim. Always looking, where is Yerushalayim? I'm going to Yerushalayim. Let's say to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I have nothing to say in Eretz Yisrael. I'm interested only in Yerushalayim. Not Yerushalayim, but Hamikdash. This is what I'm interested in, nothing else. So the meaning we say we don't want to go to Israel, it means you don't want Bet HaMikdash. But what's the purpose of you going to Israel if you don't want Bet HaMikdash? It's not a punishment. You have no right to leave. There's no reason for you to leave. I said, if you want to give Madagascar or Uganda, I said, we're in the state. It's not the state. It's Bet HaMikdash. The state is just an ismen. It's just a path to go to Bet HaMikdash. I guess there was a tragedy. The first generation died in the desert. Women died in the desert. Not because of the punishment. Of course, it's a big punishment. That's not the tragedy. The tragedy is that the minute the spies came back and said, man, this is not for you. He said, okay, we're not going to go. It's not okay, you're not going to go. You're not going to Israel. You're going to Beth Hamid. You're not going to Israel. We come to Israel. We come from the airport. They said, where are you going? He said, I came to Kotel. Where are you going? I came to Kotel. I came to Beth Hamid. That's what our grandfather did. When he came to Israel, he started to walk down. I said, where are you going? I'm going to Yerushalayim, I'm going to Beit HaMikdash. Where am I going? I'm going to go first, Tel Aviv, this, Haifa, this. The day before I leave, he goes to the court, he puts a piece of paper over there. He says, hi, bye. I said, here I came. Thank you very much. Don't forget my business in America. He says, you understand, the whole purpose is Beit HaMikdash. You have to run to Beit HaMikdash. You have to run. That's what Abraham Avinu told us. Comes the Gemara and says, let me explain to you something. You sat down on the floor and you cried. What did you cry? You cry, you don't want to go to Beit HaMikdash. Oh, you don't want to go to Beit HaMikdash. Okay. Years later, first Beit HaMikdash, second Beit HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. On that night. Why? Because that's what it means. You cried, you don't want to go. You don't want Beit HaMikdash. That's what it means. You didn't cry, you don't want to go to Israel. Now, Israel is nothing. Israel is just the beginning of redemption. Who gave us Israel 60 years ago, 65 years ago, was just the beginning. But the purpose the person has to know, says the Rambam, is Beit HaMikdash. Without Beit HaMikdash, it's half done. The job is half done. Baruch Hashem. You know we're in Israel. Baruch Hashem. A person, says the Gemara, has to have in mind all the time, I want Beit HaMikdash. He says, why do you have it? I says, look what happened. I'm David HaMelech. Everybody was busy with his real estate. Everybody was really busy with his garden. They all sat down and they worked. They had, you know, farmers. I says, you don't understand. It's not living in Israel. It's having Beit HaMikdash. That's the purpose. That's what Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Gemara says, look what happened. Yimach Shemun Nebuchadnezzar brought the plow and plowed Yerushalayim. Now Yerushalayim look like Beit Shemesh. Now you have no idea where is Beit HaMikdash. Where are you going to build? You can't build it. The Gemara said that the altar has to be exactly on the same spot that Adam HaRishon made the altar over there. Cain and Abel made the altar over there. Noach made the altar over there. Has to be exactly on the hair. Says the Gemara, well, what happened? The Gemara, well, we came back from exile, from Iraq, from Iran, from Babel. Came with us three Nevi'im, Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. And with the Nevoah from Hashem, with the email from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they measured and they said, this is the place, here is the exactly the place you put the altar. This is where Beit HaMikdash is going to be. In the time of Rabbi Yosef ben Hananya, he was very friendly with the Caesar in Rome. And he was very smart. He was very polite. A real Jewish politician. Went to Rome, convinced the Romans to give us permission to build the third Beit HaMikdash. Came back to Eretz Yisrael, told the Jewish people, ready? Start construction. The Goyim, the Arabs in Eretz Yisrael, sent delegation right away to Rome, convinced the Romans to withdraw, to revoke the permit. The Romans called back Rabbi Yosef ben Hananya and said, listen, we're not going to go back on our word. Build Beit HaMikdash, but, you know, in Bnei Brak. Avraham Avinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need this place. This is the place, 1,000 by 1,000, he told HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Elef Hama by Elef Hama. He says, this is the place. 500 by 500. 500 by 500. He says, that's the place. I don't want anything else. As you can tell me to believe in Nebak, forget about it. He says, the Gemara, he went back to Am Yisrael and said, listen, don't worry about it. Mashiach will come one day. We cannot do it any other place. I said, what happened on Tisha B'Av? I tell you what happened. After Beit HaMikdash was destroyed, they came with a plow. And the plow, the whole thing. I said, now you don't know what to do anymore. Forget about it. I won't be able to tell you. If we have today the mountain, let's say the mosque will be destroyed. You can't build a Tamikdash. You have to build it exactly on the spot. This is halacha in the Rambam. Adam imkom kaparato nivra. Kadosh Baruch Hu took some soul and created mankind. From where did Hashem take it? In the same spot the altar was built. The same spot Avraham Avinu built the altar. Noah built the altar on the same spot with Ruach HaKodesh B'Nevuah. It says, somebody plowed Yerushalayim, the biggest tragedy. He says, we leave to have Beit HaMikdash. Now you can have it. You need a Navi, you need a Ne'al Navi to tell us, where is it? That's the Mishnah says, it's a tragedy on Tisha B'Av. Then the city of Betar, it says, Mashiach was in the city of Betar. Rabbi Akiva said, Bakurva is the Mashiach. It was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara, you know why? What happened, really? Since the Gemara, the people in Betar, when Yerushalayim was destroyed years before, they said, good for them. They weren't such nice people. That's the Gemara says. He says, what is the problem? What is the problem? So, they were nice. The Gemara says, they were nice. The Gemara says, Yerushalayim was destroyed because the people were not nice there. They were too tough. Emilu divrei madin Torah. So for this, Hashem destroyed Betar. No. Hashem destroyed Betar because you don't understand. It doesn't matter the people whether they're nice or not nice. But the purpose of you being alive is for Beit HaMikdash. So you're happy. Huh? You're happy. No Beit HaMikdash. You're not going to stay. What are you staying here for? That's the Kim Chachamim, all the restriction. This is even before Tisha B'Av, comes Rosh Chodesh, no wine. Come Rosh Chodesh, no meat. This is don't buy any new thing. You can't even buy new shoes. You cannot buy nothing. You can't go shopping. As of Rosh Chodesh, you can't go shopping. Nothing. He said, what's the matter with you? I said, no, Saturday night at night. You can't take a shower. You can't take a haircut from the week of Tisha B'Av. Ashkenazim ready from Shibasa Beit Amos. Shulchan Aruch Demechaber said, don't think it's so simple. Some people don't have wine and meat from Shibasa Beit Amos. Not Ashkenazim, not Sfaradi. Some people do Tanit already from Shibasa Beit Amos every day till Tisha B'Av. I said, what is this? Because of those things, no, because to emphasize to our head that the whole thing is Beit HaMikdash. The person has to know in his life. It's not Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. He says, we missed our purpose here. He says, we have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time, Beit HaMikdash, Beit HaMikdash. If we don't have Shalom, that's the Gemara said, the tragedy. Here the Tanakh comes, and Mordechai and Hashem put the Tanakh together, and here the right over there was epidemic. People die, people get sick, people die, people get sick. And he says, what? The guy is innocent, the guy is innocent. No, no, no. Everybody is innocent. What says the Gemara, you have to have in mind all the time. I want Beit HaMikdash. That's what you have to have in mind. If you don't have it, says the Navi, you have an epidemic. The minute God and Navi told David, go purchase the place over there. To be Beit HaMikdash, the epidemic stopped. Now you know the purpose. He says, before, nothing. Everybody was busy with his land, with his fruits, seeding, plowing, harvesting, perfect, no sins. But you have no purpose in life. Purpose in life is Beit HaMikdash. The idea says this Tisha B'Av, this is Kara Alay Moed. It says you don't see Tachanun Tisha B'Av, it's Moed means time as well in the Hebrew language. Oil Moed is the time. It's the time HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see if we really mean business. This is not another Ta'anit. If Ta'asara Beit HaMikdash, we did Ta'anit because that Israel was destroyed. Shivasa Beit HaMikdash, we did Ta'anit because the Choma fell. So it means Yerushalayim was destroyed. I said this is just a beginning of the destruction, the real destruction of Beit HaMikdash. So that's what we have to aim. That's what the Tisha B'Av person has to be serious about it. I said the Zohar says, Chas Shalom, to smile on Tisha B'Av. You can't smile on Tisha B'Av. To be very serious. On the night of the Tisha B'Av and during the day, he said, this is what it is. I said, I understand my purpose, the Beit HaMikdash. Tzion Doresh Ein Lo, says the Gemara, if you demand it, we'll have it. If you don't have it, we'll forget about it. I said, like our fathers forgot the time of David HaMelech. At the time of Shlomo HaMelech, forgot about it. Yeah, Beit HaMikdash. Then you read the Tanakh, you see people didn't even go over there. The Beit HaMikdash was deserted. The Beit HaMikdash is falling apart. People don't give donation to Beit HaMikdash. You are asked to put a tzedakah box in the front. People had to give money. There was no money even to fix Beit HaMikdash. This is because this is really what we have to do all day long. You have to aim. I want Beit HaMikdash, not I want Mashiach. Mashiach is again, in the beginning, says the Gemara, says the Rambam. Mashiach is just a tool to build Beit HaMikdash. Mashiach is a supervisor of construction. That's the job of Mashiach, to build Beit HaMikdash. I said, this is the purpose of the Ta'anit. That's the person has to be very strict with himself about the Ta'anit. Because when he's strict with himself about the Ta'anit, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we mean business. Says the Gemara, Michal de Bar Drisha. Says the Gemara, Tzion Doresh En La. I says, people don't demand it. I have it. I don't have it. Says the Gemara, no, you have to demand Yerushalayim. You have to demand Beit HaMikdash. You have to demand, you have to fight for it. You have to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yeah, we want Yerushalayim. And that's what we say in Tisha B'Av, we add a paragraph. תשכון בתוך ירושלים, נחם, השם אלוקינו את אבלי ציון ואת אבלי ירושלים ותעיר החרבה, בזויה, אז אני רוצה לבחור, פליז, קמפט, תבינו, the city of Shalom, בואו עם קמפט, לוק, ירושלים, ברוך השם, the highways, the tunnels, beautiful city today, beautiful. But again, the main thing is missing, Beit HaMikdash is missing. That's what we have to emphasize, this is Tisha B'Av, חמים בידי תענית. The תענית is to show הקדוש ברוך הוא we really mean business. As the Gemara says, Ta'anit does it. When you do Ta'anit and you keep all the halachot and be very strict with yourself, Hashem sees that we need it. It's just, you know, Tisha B'Av is nothing. Let's just say to Napoleon, they came, it was in Tisha B'Av, they say, he came to Manu Beit HaKnesset, Napoleon in Paris, and he saw the people on the floor. And you say, what is this? Usually the Goyim used to be talented informers and they used to tell the government, the Jews are not happy with you, government. Go, see how they cry. The Gemara first story is about. So Napoleon went to one of the Knesset in France, in Paris, and he saw people on the floor. He said, what is this? And he says, they're crying. He said, why are they crying? He says, they're crying Beit HaMikdash. Napoleon said, what Beit HaMikdash? Which one? So he said, you know, almost 1700 years ago was Beit HaMikdash in Yerushalayim and got burned down. He said, what, they sitting now on the floor on the ground? So Napoleon said, if they crying on it, they'll have it one day. He said, I don't believe it. People cry of something that happened 1700 years ago? This is the whole purpose of Tisha B'Av, to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu we want it back. It's not to read the Megillat Echa and to do this. That's what the Zohar says. This is the day that Napoleon understood it. And Napoleon understood if we sit and we mourn on something happened 700 years ago, it means we mean business. His head will get it. Amen.